translation. In accordance with the direction of the revealed scripture, both Goswami excavated the lost places of pilgrimage and inaugurated the worship of the deities in Vrindavan. Purport. The spot where we now find Sri Radhakund was an agriculture field during the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A small reservoir of water was there, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed in that water and pointed out that originally Radhakund existed in that location. Following his directions, Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami renovated Radhakund. This is one of the brilliant examples of how the Goswami excavated lost places of pilgrimage. Similarly, it is through the endeavor of the Goswami that all the important temples at Vrindavan were established. Originally, there were 7 important Gaudiya Vaishnava temples established in Vrindavan, namely the Madan Mohan Temple, Govindaji Temple, Gopinath Temple, Sri Radha Raman Temple, Sri Shyam Sundar Temple, Sri Radha Damodar Temple, and Sri Gokulananda Temple. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurjini Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Bhutair Mahadevi Aima Puro Vibho Nirmaya Sete Adamu Supurusam Bhukte Gudan Sodasa Sodasatmakam Solam Krishistam Bhagavan Bachansime Gurave Gaurachandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadabhaktaya Namo Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishwabhanu Sute Devi Pranavami Hari Priye Bhavaradhika Madhuri Aswadaya Sukhakaj Jayati Krishna Chaitanya Kali Prakate Brajaraj Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So nicely we heard from His Holiness Bhaktisamrita Maharaj yesterday about the deed of the Goswamis, and also about the how, you know, these Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they have given so much to deliver the Mlekchaj and Javanaj, and how the western part of India, western side of India, kindly put your mobile on silence if possible. And if you are Veda Vesa on that, I may need your help, Gauri Prabhu. If anybody has Veda Vesa, because my battery drained out. Maybe I have 19%, okay. So, in this particular verse, the word Shastra Drishti is very, very important. Shastra Drishti Kaila Lupta Tirtha Udhar Vrindavane Kaila Srimurti Sevaro Prachar. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the Goswamis when they were going to Vrindavan, he gave two particular instructions. One instruction was to excavate the lost holy places and install the deity. And second was to write the books, the Vedic scripture. Prabhupada also had, you know, done same thing. This is called Parambara system. Whatever Lord Chaitanya has asked, we can see in his scan. It's a living example, Prabhupada, that he established the holy places all over the world by establishing temple. And then he wrote these books. These books are not ordinary books. These are the transcendental literature. Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madh Leela, towards the last, in one of the purport, he writes that the body becomes strong and healthy by eating the food, good food. And our spiritual life becomes strong and healthy by studying this Vedic literature. He said, thus I have translated so many books like Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, Teaching of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all the devotee of Krishna consciousness movement must read these books, study these books. Otherwise, simply, they will waste their life in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Thus, they will miss the opportunity of going back home, back to Godhead. So these books are not ordinary books. These books are extraordinary books given by Prabhupada. These are the pathway to back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada's books are so powerful. If you read, really, I mean, I have personal experience. Sometime I read some Gorakhpur book, I'm confessing, to get some reference. And then very nice story and all the thing, but my brain starts going like this. And when I read Prabhupada's books, the brain goes like this. I'm just giving a personal experience. Prabhupada's books are very important. About the establishing the temple. In India, of course, as Maharaj said, we have a lot of struggle, but somehow or other we are surviving. But in the Western country, Prabhupada, I just had this my realization, that he did not waste too much time in building temple or anything. He told the devotee to buy the church and he converted the church in temple. I always wondered why not temple. So after I became the minister, I was traveling and giving seminar and so on and so forth. So devotee in New Jersey, they asked me to help, you know, for fundraising. So we formed the committee. This was like 6 years back. It took 6 years for them to get permission to build the temple. We had land, 5-acre land. But to get the permission, it took 6 years. Now I realize how Prabhupada didn't want to waste even a single moment. He just bought the church, which had permission already. In America, even the temple they call church, Hindu church, no problem. It's called church. So even if you want to expand or break or make anything, you can do it because you have permission already in church. But now you want to apply for permission, it's hell. It took 5 years. And we built a temple in Kanpur in 3 years. Right? In 5 years you can build the temple, but just to get permission it took 5 years. So now we can see how Prabhupada was very clever. He didn't want it to waste time. He installed the deity. Because the temple is, you know, mother of devotion. You get a lot of things from the temple. The place is sanctified. Anybody who comes in temple, they feel peace. Many a time people say, "Oh Prabhu, oh Swamiji, when we go to your temple, we find so much peace. Just sit down." And can you imagine that Lord is so close to us, so near and dear one to us, that many a time we do not reveal our heart to our closest person, even wife or children. Many a time we don't close our heart. Suppose if somebody has some affairs with somebody else's wife or something like that, and he realized that I have done mistake, he will not go and tell his wife this thing. But he will come to the Lord and he will say, "My Lord, I have done this mistake, please forgive me." So Lord is so, you know, intimate. So this temple is not ordinary thing. Therefore Lord Chaitanya told them to establish the temples. And the Goswamis, they did. The 7th temple of Vrindavan is very, very prominent. So, anyway, here particularly talked about, you know, two things. The placage, pilgrimage place, and inaugurated the worship of the deity in Vrindavan. Now they did this, all this thing, not whimsically, not on their own. But the word has been used, shastra, shastra drishti. It's not what we do, but how we do. That is most important. And shastra drishti is very, very important. Even Krishna advised, tasmat shastram pramanam te karja akarja vivasthitau. We must determine what to do, what not to do, according to reveal scripture. Now, even the reveal scripture cannot manifest things on its own. It had to be, you know, taken or accepted by a bona fide authority. So for us, Srila Prabhupada is a bona fide authority. For the devotee of ISKCON, or even people in general who respect Prabhupada. So even to understand the scripture, it had to be understood through Srila Prabhupada. There are many scriptures are there. Vyas Dev divided Vedas in 4. He wrote so many Puranas, Upanishad, Mahabharat, on all those things. But for us, Shastra Praman is Bhagavat Mahapurana. As Rupa Goswami said, Aradhyo Bhagavan Bhaje Satanaya Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramyaka Jadupasana Brajabadhu Bargena Vakalpita Srinad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amulam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Martamidam Tatradaro Napara. Tatradaru na paraha. Nothing else. But Srimad Bhagavatam is pramana. And that had to be understood according with Srila Prabhupada teaching. I give you example. You go in a medical store. There are so many medicine are there. Very nice medicine. There are many tonic also. Vitamin B, vitamin C and so many. But if you start picking up some medicine on your own, this is vitamin, that vitamin will kill you also. So vitamin has to be taken, medicine has to be taken, but it has to be taken by the prescription given by a doctor. So authorization is very, very important. So Shastra Drishti is very important. I remember a story. I like to tell sometime a story. This is good. Good for our brain exercise. In Bengal, there is a custom. Now I do not know. I also heard. So if somebody is Bengali here, should not ask this thing, but maybe they know. There is a custom that when the son is married, on first day when he comes with his wife, then mother, she feeds the son and daughter-in-law. So mother-in-law is teaching daughter-in-law how to take care of my son. I have taken care of him when he was in my womb. I took all the trouble to raise him. I know pain and pleasure of my son. And if you want to win his heart, anybody's heart, then pathway is tongue, right? Mahaprasade Govinde. Tongue is a pathway to win somebody's heart. So, this is the custom to feed son and daughter-in-law the first day. And thereafter, anyway after marriage, husband is gone from mother, father. They can't say my child. Now his husband is gone. So, once there was marriage and the boy, girl, they came. So this custom was authorized custom in the family tradition. It has meaning philosophically also, it is nice that yes, first time the girl has come, she doesn't know. So, you know, her relation with the family is because of husband. So at least she should feed him very nicely. So, every way it looks nice. So this is, up to here it is okay. But when the emotion starts or something new starts, sentiment starts, then even the real thing gets lost. So I want to come on that point. Is that when this boy and girl were married, they came and they were sitting and they were waiting that mother will come to feed. They were waiting. 1 hour passed, mother did not come. 2 hour passed, mother did not come. 3 hour passed, mother did not come. 4 hour passed, mother did not come. And they were wondering what heck is going on. You know, they were hungry. 4 hour passed, mother did not come. Then finally mother came. She came and she had one cat. And she had a basket. Were wondering what mother is doing. So he brought the cat, she kept the cat, and she put the basket on the cat. So they are wondering what's going on. Then she went and she brought nice preparations for what she had cooked. So this daughter-in-law asked to her mother-in-law, "My dear mother-in-law, I have come first time in this house. I have a question. And please forgive me, I am asking, but I have to ask. Here we are sitting from last 4 hours. I know this custom is there. Even my brother got married, my mother did the same thing. But in this house, something new I see. You know, what is the reason behind, you know, putting the cat under basket before feeding us?" Some mother-in-law mother-in-law is mother-in-law, you know. I mean, nowadays mother-in-law are coward, you know, very scared of daughter-in-law. But those days mother-in-law, sea lion. They were the sea lion. They were not coward. They are not afraid. And said, how dare you ask this question? I don't know. When I came like you, my mother-in-law did same thing. So I saw her, I am doing. So her mother-in-law was also alive, because those days marriage was done when 12 years, 13 years old. So that mother-in-law I called, she was asked, she said, I don't know, when I came, my mother-in-law did same thing. So that founder mother-in-law was also alive, third generation, she was founder mother-in-law. So when she was called and she was asked, then she started laughing. Everybody thought, why is she laughing? Then she said, my dear child, the custom is that when the son gets married, when he comes, then mother feeds them. But this extra is not the custom. She said, what happened? I had a pet cat. In England we have cat here, pet. It is common, nowadays common, dog and cat keeping at home is common now. Earlier or not too much. But anyway, so she said, I had a pet cat at home. So when you got married and you were sitting, the cat was disturbing. She was going and she wanted to test everything first. So I just brought her and put her in basket, so she will not disturb. That's it. So she did for a particular reason. But daughter-in-law saw that thing and said, this is the parampara. This is new parampara. And she started a new parampara. You know. So we should not start any new parampara. Rather, we should follow Shastra Drishti. This is very appropriate in this verse. The Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they did everything. Shastra Drishti or Shastra Chakshu can have been two meaning. One meaning is that they did exactly same thing what Lord Chaitanya had asked them. Lord Chaitanya asked them to excavate, my English, what is it called, excavate, no? Excavate. Clear? My English is a little, anyway. Excavate the lost places of pilgrimage and establish the temple. Shastra Drishti Kaila Lupta Tirth Udhar Vrindavane Kaila Srimurti Seva Prachar. So actually whole thing is started by Madhavendra Puri. If you see the Madhavendra Puri, and he had the dream of Gopal, and he excavated Gopal deity, now it is known as Sinaji. An elaborate arrangement he made for the worship. And in the same way in parampara, this thing came. So we are indebted to the Goswamis that now we go to Vrindavan, we go to Radhakund, we go to Shyamkund, Giriraj Govardhan, and many other places. These all today we see. If we may have been taken birth, or you were born 500 years ago, but we didn't know. But now what you see today in Vrindavan is because of this Goswami that we see. Prabhupada, in purport, he talks about Radhakund specifically, and then he talks about the different temple. Although in verse this is not there, in accordance with the direction of the revealed scripture, both Goswami excavated the lost place of pilgrim and inaugurated the worship of deity in Vrindavan. So place of pilgrim, Prabhupada quotes here, is the spot where Radhakund is there. Radhakund. So Radhakund, we all know the appearance of Radhakund, how Radhakund appeared. 500 years ago, Prabhupada writes here, as in Prabhupada, that it was two kund, known as Gauri Kund and Kali or Gauri Talab. You know, a small pit, a small paddy land was there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this is Radha Kund and Syam Kund. Raghunath Das Goswami, he was doing his Hari Bhajan on the bank of Radha Kund. And Sripad Jiva Goswami, he used to write all the literature in Radha Kund. And all other Goswami, like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they all used to come on Radha Kund. And whatever Rupa Goswami has, you know, spoken and Jiva Goswami has written, they used to read the scripture every day, every evening, on the bank of Radha Kund. It was so dear that even ferocious animal like tiger, they used to come and hear the chanting of Raghunath Das Goswami. One day, Raghunath Das Goswami, he just had a desire that if I had money, I would, you know, renovate these two kunda, Radha Kund and Syam Kund. Now Raghunath Das Goswami, as we know, he was the son of, you know, the richest person of his time. He was only son. He could have gone any amount of money from his father. But he just had this desire. And a pure devotee, if they have desire, Krishna fulfills their desire. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udarthi tibrena bhakti yogi na jeta purusha param. If somebody sincerely serving Krishna, no matter if you have any kind of desire, Krishna fulfills the desire. So it was the desire of Raghunath Das Goswami that if I get some money, I'll do this thing. There was a saudagar or a merchant or a businessman. He was going Badrikasram and he had a lot of money and he wanted to do something in Badrikasram. Then he had a dream, that man, that you take this money and go and give to Raghunath Das Goswami on the bank of Radha Kund. So, next day morning, that businessman came with that money and he handed over to Raghunath Das Goswami. And later Raghunath Das Goswami was feeling so guilty that why did I think this way? His desire was to have, if I have money, I will build this Radha Kund and Syam Kund. There's nothing wrong in having this kind of desire. They are pure devotee. They regret even having that kind of desire, just like Draupadi. When she was helpless, she prayed for help from Krishna. And when Lord came and saved her, then later on she was feeling disgusted. She said, oh my goodness, why did I trouble the Lord for this material body? Why did I do that thing? So same Raghunath Das Goswami was feeling very upset that why did I desire this thing? So they had a nice system of communication. I mean, sometimes something happens to us, we should always consult our seniors or among the devotees, that's why you have sadhu sangha, and get out of this guilt and move on in our devotional service. So he discussed with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and others, and they all approved. They all approved that this is so wonderful. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they approved Raghunath Das Goswami for renovating this Radha Kund. So under the supervision of Sripad Jiva Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, the Radha Kund and Syam Kund were renovated. So now we see, you know, beautiful Radha Kund and Syam Kund, that is the gift of the Goswami. In Radha Kund, there is a kund in the middle of Radha Kund. That is called Kangan Kund. Kankan Kund. So that is because a story goes, we know about the appearance of Radha Kund, that when it's there in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 36, text number 16, and I thought, I have 5 minute time, my dear President Sahib, 5 minute time. So okay, I'll just read it. Or maybe Gauri Prabhu can read, because he English is better, he English man. So that's nice. Because my English is, you know, Gaonwala English here.
My English is better than the English. So.
Yeah. After Rastasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narad Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. The powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Purport. Okay. The term Devadarshana can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God, and Darshana means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Devadarshana, a name of Narad Muni, indicates that Narad has attained the perfection of seeing God. That getting Narad's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord, and also that Narad's audience is as good as the as that of the demigods, who are also known as Devas. That there are all these meanings of the term Devadarshana reveals something of the richness of the Srimad Bhagavatam's language. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses. And okay, has quoted the 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arista. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, Radha and Krishna's bathing ponds. Verses are as follows. The innocent young gopis said, "Ah, Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arista was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So, you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Then he said, "This is the water of the Bhagavati River, coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you please come here." When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows, "See all the holy places?" But the gopis replied, "We don't see them as you describe." Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up, "I am the salt ocean, I am the ocean of milk, I am the Amar Dirghika, I am the river Sona, I am the Sindhu, I am the Tamrapani, I am the holy place Pushkar, I am the river Saraswati, and we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Rava rivers, and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters." After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, "I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties in this earth. this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. I must create an even more beautiful pond, so go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Krishna's pond. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands, and in this way, a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. He said, Go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with water from mine. But Radha replied, No, 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 no. That is impossible, since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. I will have my countless gopi companions bring water, pure water from Manasaganga, here in billions of pots. In this way I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make its renown unequaled in the entire world. Lord Krishna then gestured to the heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all holy places. Suddenly that person rose out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Brishabhanu. Then with joined palms and tears pouring from his eyes, he began to pray to her in devotion. O goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories, nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them, and thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. He's always anointing your lotus feet with nectarine, charu, and yavaka, and decorating them with ankle bells, and he rejoices and feels the most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in the most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the fully assembled holy places, Sri Radha was pleased and said, So kindly tell me your desire. They then told her plainly, Our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond. That is the benediction we require. Glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Brishabhanu replied with a smile, Please come. Her gopi companions all agreed in her decision, and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Thus gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes in Sri Radha Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Lord Hari then said, My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and to enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are. Radha replied, I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here. In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastise the Aristasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me. That night, Lord Krishna initiated a ras dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous desire, pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud, and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expanses of the three worlds. Prabhupada again. As a final note, it should be mentioned that Narad Muni, being the great sage, understood that the killing of Arista more or less concluded the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. Therefore, Narad, anxious to facilitate the transfer of Krishna's pastimes to Mathura, approached Kamsa and addressed him as follows. You have to read that. Sri Radha Kund Ki, Shama Kund Ki. I hope all the English understood My accent.
So, only one thing we heard about Radhakund, I mean, all the seven temples, there is also pastime of that, and I'm sure you all know. So one point I just missed, that when they were renovating Radhakund and Syamkund, so Radhakund is square, and they wanted to make Syamkund also a square. So night time, the five Pandavas, they came in dream of Raghunatha Swami, saying that we reside here on the bank of Syamkund, and they were in the form of tree. So please don't, you know, relocate us, don't cut us. So therefore, you see, Syamkund is in different shape than Radhakund. And of course, Krishna was young cowherd boy, so when he was challenged to go and take bath, he just took his right feet and boom, he put in earth. So you can see the whole Syamkund is like the shape of Krishna's feet. And the Pandava, they reside there. So again, coming back on this thing, it's not what we do, but how we do. That is the important lesson to be taken from this. That the Goswami did everything under the direction of, accordance with the direction of the revealed scripture, Shastra Drishti. That is very important. Thus I end the class here. Thank you very much.